All right. Hopefully everybody's doing good. Go to Psalm 30. That's where we're going to be. We're going to talk about behind the face covering. Now, this is certainly a series that will coincide with the pandemonium stuff we're looking at on Sunday morning. Dead giveaway is we're moving into another psalm, so that will let you know where I have been as of late, as we've kind of navigated these interesting days that we're in. I've spent a lot of time in the Psalms looking at a variety of different things. But the idea behind this is, as we're talking about on Sunday mornings, this pandemic pandemonium, and we've got a four-week rotation coming up here in midweek, is that, we talk about, we get frustrated at, I appreciated so much the affirmation I got all week when I said that the noise you make when you take down a mask is, ugh. Most of you did that on the way out the door, which was great. I appreciated that. And it really is true. We get frustrated with it. Now, again, we're at different places in the journey. Some are frustrated with it, and we're just not going to do it because we just think it's garbage, and I got that. And then others of us will do it just because we are just trying to navigate other people and not bump into them and have them be okay, and that's fine too. And some of you think you really need it, and that's cool too. That works. I mean, you figure out where you are. But I guarantee you, when you start pulling that mask off, though, behind the mask, there is so much emotion, there is so much craziness that we are going to have to unravel in our lives, all of us, by the way, that we don't even begin to understand what that looks like in the days ahead. Somebody just call me right now, and they'll have to wait. I was just making sure there's nobody that was actually Zooming with us, they wanted to actually participate. So that's kind of what this series is about. And so I'm going to go to Psalm 30. The other thing I'm going to do, and we'll probably get into it tonight as we kind of intro what we're doing tonight, is we're really only doing this because it's important to me. I know it's not important to you, but it's important to me. This psalm specifically is going to help you at least see a little bit of somehow the method behind the madness of what we do. I consider my role for each of us, at least for us as a ministry, very much like being a Steven Spielberg film, more of a Raiders of the Lost Ark type of film, where we are on a journey. We're mapping out on this hunt where we're trying to get somewhere and discover something. Tonight is one of those times where we roll that back a little bit, because the psalm that we're looking at tonight actually relates back to the series that we did called The Return, where David brought the ark back to Jerusalem. And so all of these things on my notes had lines connecting them, and if you were to see my journals there, I kind of draw lines here and come back here and circle back here. This is my circle back, okay? And I knew we would be covering this. I just didn't know when or how it was going to fit. And so for me, it's important that we make that jump. It just makes me feel better about myself, and that's behind my mask. So there you go. So we're going to look at that. And so if somebody has it, go ahead and read Psalm 30 for us so we can get that in. And then I'm going to kind of just start introducing this. And what I'm going to try to do for us is I'm going to try to outline this. And so I'm going to add to the outline each week. That way, when we're done, you can kind of look back at the outline and go, oh, okay, that's what we covered. Because I have no idea how far we'll get. Okay? All right. Somebody read Psalm 30 for us, if you wouldn't mind. Loud and proud so we can hear it.
I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lift me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, your saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favor me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction and my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
Now, disclaimer, because it's Wednesday night and it's middle of a week. Sometimes when I read or hear the Psalms, you know, I get caught up in sometimes the poetic way that it sounds or the phrasing of it, and I just go, "Wow, that's really pretty," or it makes me feel good or sounds good, but I don't always slow down long enough to figure out what the heck it means, or what it's talking about. I mean, for example, you know, Sunday morning I talked to you about what it meant, you know, that little phrase about, you know, you're shaded, your right arm is shaded by God. I mean, that's a whole, I mean, there's a whole sermon, there's a book in there somewhere, you know, and we blow by it so quick we don't really understand, wow, that's just not pretty. I mean, that means something. I mean, that really does mean something. And believe it or not, what we just read in Psalm 30, it really does mean something to you in the season of life we're in. Maybe in a very vivid way that it hasn't for a lot of times of your life. I mean, God's always there, and we need the promises of God. I got all that. But for right now, for this time in history, this psalm really is loaded up. And so understanding that, and I think that will help us as we kind of look at moving behind the face mask that we wear. Someone sent me this, and I think it's true. They said, "I am riding the Corona coaster." I asked what the Corona coaster was, and they sent me a lengthy definition. They said, "It is a noun. It is the ups and downs of a pandemic. One day you're loving the bubble that you're living in. You're doing workouts, you're wearing yoga pants, you're reading books, you're baking banana bread and going for long walks and enjoying the scenery. And the next day, you are crying. Your cable cuts out. Your internet quits working and you can't watch Netflix. You can't muster the energy to get out of your sweatpants. You're drinking gin for breakfast. And you're missing people that you never liked in the first place." That's the Corona coaster. And you know, there probably is more truth in that for a lot of folks than they want to admit. There's an up and down to this thing. It's a fun ride some days, and we can smile about it. Then other days, let's be honest, we're not smiling about it. You know, some days we kind of take it all in stride and go, "Yeah, it's just the world we live in," and you just smile and go on. And there's other days, boy, it hits your button, or you've had your fill, or it's gotten just, you know, you're up to here in it, and one more thing happens, and you're just like, "Can't take this anymore," and you feel like you're going to explode because you can't handle it. I mean, and you guys have been great to encourage each other, and I would ask you to continue to do that. You guys are on Zoom. I know you're doing the same thing. You know, we as a body have navigated this as well as anybody that I have heard of, and I'm excited about that for you guys. I'm excited to be a part of that. Healthy conversations, a few laughs, a few tears, a few struggles, as you know, as even as we pray tonight. We know people who have it. We know people who have dealt with it. And realistically, they will get better, and we will praise God and celebrate that. And we will just keep moving on with life, and our kids are going to survive school somehow, some way. Our teachers are going to survive somehow, some way. There's an election coming, and we'll never hear the coronavirus again. And I mean, and all those kind of things, we're out there thinking this could happen, right? This could happen. You know, and again, I mean, it's just a weird, weird time. I mean, we've got schools that now started. You know, Orange County goes back first, and you know, there's a little private Christian school in town that made the news, you know, right up front. And we were praying for that little school and those teachers and what they were doing. And then, you know, Orange County came back in, and everybody came back and gives them a lot more cover. There's a lot more people involved now. And then next week Osceola County is going to go back, you know, and so we're going to get everybody back in school. And if you guys haven't been paying attention, and I'm not going to be a prophet because I don't really know that much about it, but you know what's coming, right? You know, Florida for the last week, 2 weeks have had lower cases. You know, our positivity rate has been down, and yet on the headlines, all we hear about is we don't need to go back to school because we're getting better, we're getting better, we're getting better. We know what's going to happen. We go back to school, right? Those rates are going to go back up. And now don't stop and ask yourself, is anybody manipulating those numbers? Because that's a question you can't ask. But somebody's counting numbers. And so you just figure out, you know, this is just the world we live in, and this is what we have to navigate. And it's up and it's down, and we're high and we're low, and we're trying to figure out how you make heads or tails out of it. A few years ago, I told you guys about the North Yungas Road, which is a mountain highway in Bolivia. It is part of the Andes Mountain Range, and I don't know if you guys remember that. I actually think I showed pictures in worship. It's a crazy road when you look at it and see the pictures. If not, Google it somewhere. The road offers drivers breathtaking views. I mean, the views are incredible because it descends 11,000 feet from the mountains into an adjoining rainforest. 11,000 feet. Can you imagine that? That's a ride. But it's not famous for its scenery. It's known for its danger because it is known as the death road. Now, what makes it so dangerous is that the road is unpaved, and it means that drivers are ascending and descending a mountain on nothing more than gravel and compacted dirt. The road at its widest point is a whopping 12 feet, and it is often a situation where more than one car is trying to get past one another on that 12-foot road. Now, some of you think people have trouble in the lanes on I-4. Try that. To make matters worse, the presence of the rainforest means the road is often shrouded in rain or fog, sometimes both, often a mist on this little road. But more terrifying than all of that, if that's not bad enough for drivers, is there are no guardrails. Most of the curves on the road and the descents have no barriers that keep you from going over the edge. And you plunge 15,000 feet into the valley below, and basically you die. On an average year, 300 people will actually lose their lives on the death road. 300 people are going to drive this road and die, which makes it the most dangerous road in the world. I mean, it makes it the road that no one wants to go on. And in a lot of ways, believe it or not, your life kind of sometimes seems like that. The current coronavirus culture that we live in, if you were to describe it, I think this is a fair way to describe it. Someone has taken the guardrails off the road. What we used to navigate easily and without fear, and we were familiar with it, but we always knew that there was a guardrail over there that we could bounce off of if we needed to. The guardrails are gone. And we're trying to ride it out because we know what we're supposed to do and we're familiar with what we're doing. We know how to live life. We know how to navigate life. Yet by the same token, in the back of our head somewhere, there's this gnawing thought, though, that, you know, if I get too close to the edge here, though, I could go careening off. And again, we go back to what I said earlier. There are some days as we deal with this virus that we're okay with it. We just kind of take everything in stride. It's that hassle of, I got to wear a mask. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, take my temperature. I'm coming in, whatever, you know. But then there's that flip side of it that some days you've just had enough. You know, you just had enough. I'm not going to tell you who, but someone was telling me the other day that they went to a place that someone took their temperature on the way in. And, you know, instead of that, come on in, they got the ding, and you could physically hear, you know, the little no-touch thermometer ding, the warning alert. And they have those, by the way. Now, if it ever happens to you here, ours goes, whoop, 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 whoop. Red lights come on all through the building. Brittany body slams you and will not let you in the building on a Sunday morning, just so you know. And at that point, we actually have guards that we're going to come out with tasers. They will tase you, and then they will drag you back to the back of a pickup, mine, and we will drive you out to the edge of Winter Springs and just roll you out because you tried to get in the building with a fever. That's our welcome to 434 thing we're doing. But someone said that, you know, the thing dinged, and so then they retook the temperature, and it was below the ding level. So the assumption was, okay, it just misread the first time. So then they took it the third time. Ding, it dinged again. So they took it again, and it was below the normal, it was below the regular level. So 1 minute they have a temperature, the next minute they don't, and the person that was trying to do this fever health check didn't have any instructions as to what to do and had to make a call whether they were going to let them in or let them out. And so what they did is they just kept taking their temperature. And the pattern just kept repeating. Ding. Good. Ding. Good. Thing. I mean, it, and they said, it must have been 10 times.
Oh my goodness.
I wanted to reach across, they said, and this is a direct quote, grab them by the neck, squeeze them till their eyeballs fell out, and then wanted to just walk past them and step over them and go in where I wanted to go. Only they didn't let the person into where they were going. Not because they thought they had a fever, but just because they weren't sure they didn't. And the person, as they were explaining to me, said, yeah, 1 minute, they were like, okay, okay. Like, ride a roller coaster. How do you handle that? How do you process it? Well, that's, you know, I mean, we are living and dying by technology and rules and totals and thoughts and news reports, and we don't understand most of it. And yet at the end of the day, guess what? You get to get up tomorrow and do it again. And you know, say, well, that's not real encouraging. Well, it ought to be, though, because, I mean, we're still in it. We're just kind of learning to drive without the guardrails. Because life has always been a mess. We just didn't know it. And life has always been unpredictable. We just got to where we thought we could predict it. And life has always been dangerous. There's always been germs out there. Jesus and germs are everywhere. But we've spent most of our life trying to navigate around Jesus and germs. And this time the germs are catching up with people. And so, you know, nothing's changed, but everything's changed. And all of a sudden what we thought was safe seems a lot more dangerous than it used to be. I mean, and it's heartbreaking to hear. I'm like you guys, it is absolutely heartbreaking to hear that kids are eating lunch at lunch tables side by side, not able to face each other. That sucks. That's no way for a kid to live, and it's no way for your children to live or my children to live. And you know what? Something's got to give. We all know that. And so when you watch out at that landscape and you watch people start to snap and break a little bit, you know, you do two things. One, thank God it's not you. But then pray for them because you're a heartbeat away from that. Okay? Because again, that's the roller coaster we're on. That's the dangerous times that we live in. That's what's going on behind the face mask. You know, one thing about wearing a face mask that is good for you and can be a great release and actually can be a game if you want to play it, is that you can actually make faces at people now and they don't know it. You can actually make the faces you always wanted to make, but because you love Jesus, you were always afraid to, because you never wanted to give them a bad, you know. So when you're looking at somebody in a public place, make a face at them. They can't tell what you're doing. They won't know what you're doing. And it's the face that you always wanted to react with, but you didn't know. And God will forgive you because he understands. Jesus knows that you don't like the face mask. And he didn't like the mask that he had on when he was in the tomb, and he didn't keep it on, okay? And so he came out of it, the mask came off, out he comes. He left it rolled up on the tomb, one of the great days of all human history. We call it Easter. That's where we're trying to get to. And so, you know, you and I, though, have to navigate this as followers and do it with a level of dignity and class so we can keep making the dent that God's called us to make.
After you just told us to make faces.
Yeah. Because when you take the mask off, you're smiling again, right? I mean, people don't know. It's a great release. It's a great stress reliever. But depth and wisdom come, and we kind of learn to ride this roller coaster. And believe it or not, David faced this kind of stuff. David chronicled this. And that's where we are in Psalm 30. You just heard it. So let me give you, a little bit of the background, and this was all we'll get into tonight, but this actually ties it and makes the bridge back to where we've been, okay? If you don't remember where we were in that first part, when we first got back together, physically got back together, and were able to meet for the first time, that series that we did called The Return about David bringing the Ark back to Jerusalem, broke this passage down. But in your Bibles, it might actually call this a Psalm of Commemoration. Maybe your subtitle says this is a Song of Dedication for the Temple of David. And most historians, commentators that have debated that have come to the conclusion, smarter people than I, that this is when David has returned the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Not the period later in his life when priests actually carried it back out again. That's a whole different story. But this is that culmination of all those years where Under Saul's leadership, the people had just forgotten about God. They didn't care about God. Temple worship became meaningless. The Babylonians come in. You know, those rats steal the Ark of the Covenant, and they make it disappear, and it's gone, and nobody knows where it is. But more importantly than that, no one cared. No one cared. And to me, you know, one of the things that we don't talk about when we talk about that whole story is that statement. Nobody cared. I mean, how devastating is it to simply say, hey, the presence of God is no longer going to be with you, and to know that the response you get back is, I don't care. But please understand, that is very real in our culture today. We have a culture that, you know, has a hard time now even feigning interest in God at times. This truly is a post-Christian culture. And that is the attitude. The presence of God may not be with you. I don't care. That's the environment that David inherited when he came to become king. That's how Saul left the kingdom. You know the story of the ark, right? I mean, we kind of went through it. The Philistines. The Philistines were the rats that took the ark. And they paraded it for a while. If you go back and kind of read and kind of look at history a little bit, the Philistines, they kind of marched it through their own land to celebrate publicly their victories over the Israelites. But everywhere they stopped with the ark, they had problems. So it didn't go well for the Philistines. And again, I would go back to remember when the Nazis took it in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Bad things happen when you mess with the ark, and you're not supposed to, and that's enough said. But time passes. During Saul's administration, the ark becomes nothing but a memory. The people were spiritually unaware of their lack of caring, I guess. But David understood the significance of the ark, and he knew how important it was to bring it back. And so that was the goal for him early on, is I want to build a temple, I want to bring it back. We know what happened when he tried to bring it back. You know, he tries to shortcut the process. He's rolling it back on the cart because he's a guy and it's practical and he didn't read directions. And so he's on the way back, and of course it takes that little bad bump, and they reach over and try to stop it, and of course that kills him, and they drop dead, and David wigs out, and he says, let's put it away, and they take the ark away. And David basically quarantines himself from the things of God for 3 months. Whereas David doesn't stop being king, but David certainly now does what everyone else had done. While the ark was his calling, he needed to get it back. He knew how important it was to get the presence of God in front of his people. And then, it's got a little bit more tougher than he wanted to. It got a little bit more dangerous. And so basically, if you remember the story, and we talked about it, David spends 3 months, I'm not messing with this anymore. You want another story of an emergence? David, then, for 3 months, has now a man after God's own heart, but has managed to separate himself from the presence of God and the desire to be in the presence of God and the desire to have the presence of God near him in his kingdom for 3 months. Now, he will emerge, and when he emerges, it is better than ever, and he has great days in front of him, but he is just like we are at times. And so David pushes things back, and he just has to take some time. We know that the ark is at a place where a man that has it, Obed-Edom, the Gittite, God blesses that family in remarkable ways because the ark is in the house, and they certainly want to keep it in the house. David's view was, you know, let's keep that thing in storage. Let's put it away in Area 51 somewhere. It's too dangerous. I have a kingdom to establish. I've got other things to do. I can do it without God. And basically, he quarantines himself. He locks himself away from things of God. But David hears that there in the home where the ark is, that guy now has a Midas touch. And God is just blessing the socks off everything this guy does. And David finally comes to his senses. He digs into the Old Testament law. He reviews it carefully. He reconnects. He has great attention to the strict commands about moving the ark. He proceeded to bring it carefully back where it needed to be, to bring it back to Jerusalem. And so here he comes, and he comes emerging back in. And so David's life is on display in Psalm 30. See, that's the background of the psalm, because what we forget about David is although he is a man after God's own heart, his life is nothing but a wild roller coaster ride. He is an emotional guy. One of the things that you discover about David over the course of his life, and you read about it time and time again, David's entire life is an emotional and spiritual roller coaster. And if you ever think like your life is that way, you're a lot like David. David has some great, great moments, and when he is great, he is amazing. And then he has some bad, bad moments, and when he's bad, he is really, really bad. And there are moments where it seems like David is just at the top of the hill, and he is joyful, and other moments that he is just at the depths of depression. And Sunday, we're going to stay in a psalm, but we're shifting and moving to a different psalm, and sure enough, we're going to catch David in the midst of, man, it's a rough spot to be in. And that, while that has a lot to do with who we are on our journey as well. But this is a psalm about the ebbs and flows of life. Those moments when things are good and those moments when things are not good. And right now, we're wearing this mask and we know that things are not good. And we're looking for God to kind of give us that moment to take the mask off, go, ugh, and rediscover what it means to have excitement and to have joy. And rediscover what it means to kind of move into that newness and that freshness of God. And so, yeah, that's as far as we're going to get tonight. So it really is just the introduction, sorry. But we're going to kind of basically break down all the things that happened, the movements, if you will, of the emotional roller coaster that David is now going to put on display through the verses of Psalm 30, because they, believe it or not, I promise you, it's the ride that you're on. And it's a ride that I'm on. It's a ride that most people that you're bumping into are riding every day. And so the Corona coaster is something that we are all navigating. And the psalm helps us. It helps us to know what to do. It helps us to know how David navigated it. It's encouragement for us. And so that's why we're there. And so hopefully you'll like the ride. And hopefully you'll discover some good things in the midst of it. And if not, then you'll be completely wasting your time. So let's pray, and we will ask God to kind of bless us through the rest of the week, and then we will be done. God, you are good to us, and through the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, you're there. And Lord, we're on a journey here as a body, as a group of people, as a family that connects together and bumps into each other on a regular basis. God, we're riding that roller coaster just like everybody else is. There's nothing about following you that has exempted us from the roller coaster ride. And we're smart enough to know that we're not alone, and that makes us glad. And we're smart enough to know that you're not going to forget about us, and that makes us happy. And knowing that you're there does make it easier because we can anchor to you. But because it's easier doesn't mean it's easy. And so, Lord, we are trying to figure it out like everyone else, and we need that strength that only you can give. And so, Lord, I pray for each person that's in this room. I pray for each person that's kind of joined us and zoomed in with us. I just pray that you would just give them that supernatural strength, that they would see you, that they would discover that shade that you have for us, that they would feel that comfort and they would feel the security that only you can give. And Lord, at the same time, I pray that you would be with us as we kind of move through this psalm. And as we move through the psalm, again, show us some things about our life that will remind us that not only do you understand how we feel, but there is hope and help beyond what we feel. And so that we can live beyond the mask. That is our prayer for tonight, but also for the days ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, y'all have a good week. Zoom crew, see you next time. Thanks for being here.